Brian Courtright here. We're talking winter fire safety here as we continue our conversation. And, you know, I was talking during the break here about Christmas trees. And in our household, we usually have an artificial tree. I'm always a little, both of us, my wife and I, are a little hesitant to get a real tree because we do like to sometimes maybe not be home on the weekends. And keeping that hydrated is always a tough deal. But Brad, as I understand, there's ways you guys help with that.
Yeah, something to think about. You know, when you get a real tree, it's always a great idea to make sure right before you put it up that you cut a little sliver off that trunk. It'll help it draw water better, and those tree trunks tend to seal over with dried sap and things when they're you know, sitting on the lot. I know you've got the fine folks from the Optimist Club coming up after us talking about the Christmas tree lot, and I know they'll actually ask people when they buy a tree, are you going to put it up right away? And if so, they'll actually cut a little sliver off so that the tree will draw water better. If you're not going to put it up right away, better to not cut it until you are ready to put it up. You always want a nice fresh cut to draw water up into that tree.
All right, that's a great tip. As I understand, we have a caller on the line. I hope you guys are prepared for a phone call.
Sure.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for trying to keep us safe from that frozen turkey in that full pan of hot peanut oil and the carbon monoxide monitors. You know, one of the families here, they had the highest level of carbon monoxide when the furnace guy showed up. They're telling me that that's not survivable, that your brain cells or whatever your body cells, once that's damaged, it's damaged for life. But let's talk about your efforts. Do your fire radio, communication radios work in the bottom basement of the churches and around town? Do we need to upgrade that? Or do you have equipment to reach out on top of the K-State Library the next time they set fire to it? Or do we need anything to help you with your services? Thank you so much for your efforts.
Yeah, thanks for the call. On the radio coverage, we do have areas of town that especially in some buildings, just due to the construction of the building, that operating radios within them and being able to communicate with dispatch can be difficult. But we do have ways of dealing with that. We have what are called TAC channels that actually allow us to still communicate on the fire ground between members of the crews. So generally speaking, we don't have trouble with our radios. We're able to deal with that. So.
And, you know, communication for you guys is probably one of the biggest things, maybe more so than about any other industry.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always a good point.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit also with cooking safety. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be bringing people into their homes this week, Thanksgiving. Frying a turkey is never it's not always recommended, I know, at homes, but if you are going to do it, what's a safe way to do that?
Well, I've personally never fried one. Maybe Brad has. But
nope, that's one of the few things I haven't cooked.
But as I understand, though, typically the instructions will tell you to fill the vessel with water first, put the turkey in, and then make sure that you've got the correct level of liquid in it, and then take the turkey out. And then actually you would take the water out, and then you would put that equal amount of oil back in so that you're making sure that when you put the turkey in, you don't just end up with this volcano of oil. Certainly you don't want to put a frozen turkey in the fryer. That's another reason. I would probably encourage folks to do it in the garage. That concrete floor is a good surface to do it on. It's out away from, you know, your kitchen counter and your cabinets and things like that. So those would be tips that I generally drive home to folks that are going to fry a turkey. So,
and if you're going to do that, you probably want to have good ventilation, I imagine.
Yeah, I would suggest that. Generally speaking, they probably fryer is going to produce, especially a deep fryer like that, you're going to have some smoke, some steam, things like that. But generally speaking, it's probably a good idea to be in a well-ventilated area. So.
Okay. Yeah, outside probably be the best bed. I know this time of year weather is probably not the, you know, conducive to that sometimes. But if you got a non-combustible concrete or flagstone patio surface or something, you know, it's ventilated outside, obviously, and it's just probably a better place to do that.
I would agree, yep.
All right. Well, another big thing this time of year seems to be candles. For whatever reason, we like candles more so during the holidays, but what are some safety tips using those?
Yeah, candles certainly get used a lot more during the holiday season. The the surface that you actually set the candle on is probably one of the bigger things that you need to keep in mind, making sure it's a solid surface. A non-combustible surface is preferable. You know, as a candle burns down, that container, if it has a container, will get hot. So keeping it on a solid non-combustible surface is best. And then keeping combustibles away from it, like drapes and things like that. And never want to leave one lit and leave your house. Certainly want to, same thing with cooking. You want to make sure that you don't leave candles unattended when they're burning.
I have a little cheat sheet here. It says 1 in 3 of home decoration fires are started by candles. Yep. That's incredible.
Yep. Always a cause of fires for sure. Candles are right up there.
They're certainly not a set it and forget it. So
no, definitely not. You know, one other thing might point out when you're on the topic of decorations would be your holiday lighting. So, you know, if you have lights on your Christmas tree or even you know, as much so lights outside your house maybe that you've put up for the holidays, check that wiring before you put them up. Check for frayed spots or maybe broken insulation. If there's anything like that, you know, don't tape it up. It's better off to just get rid of it and replace it because, you know, those wires are not the heaviest gauge wiring, and it's not hard to cause a short circuit in some of that holiday wiring. You know, the other thing, you're only supposed to leave outside holiday lighting up for a maximum of 3 months, 90 days. And I know sometimes it gets left out there year-round, and sunlight really has a detrimental effect on some of that wiring, too, that's not made for that. And so you can get cracked insulation, you know, and shorts in some of that wiring. It can be a fire hazard. So always best before you use that holiday lighting for the year or your decorations that are electrical in nature to make sure you check that first and make sure it's in good shape before you put it up.
So that is an incentive. If you have a neighbor who likes to leave their lights up all year round, you have proof now that that's a fire hazard from the fire department.
That's true. There is some that is made for leaving up permanently, but, okay. You know, generally what you just buy off the shelf that's the standard Christmas lights you might staple to the, you know, edge of the roof, not always permanent grade wiring. So need to kind of keep that in mind and don't leave it there all year round.
All right. I want to get back to a little bit on space heaters here because I know a lot of fires are started by those just being left unattended here. Where, if you are going to use a space heater, how would you say is the proper way to do that?
Generally speaking, the surface that you're setting it on is probably the bigger deal, making sure that it's a solid surface so you don't have one fall over. You don't want to put it in an area where it's going to be prone to clothes and things getting piled up against it. So just a nice, clean area that's kind of out away from everything. Near an outlet, again, so that you're not running off an extension cord. Those would be the things that I'd keep in mind if you're going to use a space heater. So.
Okay. Probably not a good idea to have those on while you're sleeping either.
Yeah. The space heater industry has come a long ways from some of the older models that we saw a lot of fires, but there's a lot of safety features to them. But I probably would not leave one on all night. That would probably not a good idea. Sleeping next to one is the same one as probably just leaving one on and leaving the room. So, yeah, it's probably not a good idea to leave one on while you're sleeping. So,
okay. If people have questions about carbon monoxide, if they want to maybe get it tested in their home, do you guys do that here from the fire department?
We test when we get a carbon monoxide call. We don't offer services going out and just generally testing. I think, Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, but they could probably get in contact with Kansas Gas if it's gas appliances and they've got questions on that.
It's possible some of the heating and cooling contractors may be able to help you out with that too, at least to check your appliances and make sure that, you know, you don't have cracked heat exchanger or something like that, that when you fire it up for the year, it's going to cause some carbon monoxide issues.
Okay. Well, we're about out of time. I do want to let you talk a little bit about Snow Partners here, Brad.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention real quick, it's that time of year when we've already gotten snow this year. So city has a program called Snow Partners, and what it is, it's pairs people that aren't able to clear the snow off their sidewalks with volunteers who help them do that. And so there's a form online on the city's website you can fill out either if you need assistance or if you want to volunteer to do that. Or you can call 587-4508, and for either volunteering or if you need assistance with that. It's just a great program. It's been in existence a couple of years now, and I signed up to volunteer, my wife and I, and we help a couple of different locations clear sidewalks. And it's just – it's a good thing to do. If you've got a neighbor, you don't even have to volunteer through this program. If you've got a neighbor that needs it, help them out with it, you know. Always a good neighborly thing to do.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some safety tips with us. We'll have you on again sometime real soon.
Very good.
Thanks for having us.
All right. This is In Focus here, News Radio KMAN. Back after these words.